Okay. The other day, I was going about my business, and I stopped in a, I was at a store, I was picking up something, and I ran in to an old acquaintance of mine. I can't say he was like my best friend or anything, because he wasn't. He was somebody I used to work with back in the days when I was in my early 20s, even before St. Jerome's. This was a long time ago, okay? Not many of you know, but Dave and I were together at St. Jerome's University for a while, and when Dave was a student and I was working in the kitchen, managing the food facilities and all that. So anyway, this fella's name, his name was Murray, okay? And when I saw Murray, I said hi to him, and Murray said hi to me, and we had a little conversation, everything. I kind of got caught up in where he was, and he got caught up in where I was. It wasn't very long, and we were saying goodbye to each other, and we were on our merry way. So as I was going about my day, I was thinking about Murray. You know, I was thinking about the time that I had with him, and I was thinking more importantly about the impact that Murray had on my life, because he impacted me. He did something in my life that changed the way that I thought about people, and more particularly myself. Okay? The story kind of goes like this, and it was one day I was in a conversation in the middle of the kitchen with a bunch of people. Murray was there, and there was a couple of other guys, and we were talking about somebody, nothing bad, until I said something very derogatory about this person we were talking about. And after, well, before I go into that, I just want you to, do you know what the word derogatory means? Okay. I'm going to tell you anyway, because there's some words here I want you to understand, okay? Derogatory means belittling, diminishing, disrespectful, demeaning, discrediting, dishonoring, critical, negative, unfavorable, disapproving, uncomplimentary, unflattering, and downright insulting. Now, I know all of you are sitting there right now and you're thinking, from Jerry? Jerry said something like that? Yes, I did. Murray didn't say much at the time, but he did say this. He said, "What do you say about me when I'm not around?" And then he quietly walked away. That was it. That's all he said. I was stunned. He left me standing there, and so did everyone else. And I was stunned because nobody had ever confronted me before on what comes out of my mouth. Okay? It took me off guard. And it took me off guard for a couple of reasons, but one was that I really liked Murray. And it was important for me to know that Murray liked me. And right there, right then, my plan kind of went south. Because what happened there, Murray didn't see the person I wanted him to see. He saw the ugly side of me. Okay? But Murray had the boldness and the courage to call me out on what I had done, and to call it for what it really was. I felt exposed at that point because my flesh had been revealed. And I didn't even know Jesus back then, but I know now that Jesus was working in my life. He was teaching me things. I'd like to tell you that I apologized to Murray, and I went to the young fellow that I was talking about, and I apologized to him, but I didn't. I was too young, and I was too immature. And I lacked the proper guidance at that time in my life to do something so courageous as to apologize for my actions. Nevertheless, it did change me. And it changed the way that I thought about myself. And I knew in my heart that I didn't want to be that person. The person that speaks negative, hurtful things about other people. It made me think long and hard before I opened my mouth and said anything about anybody in the future. And I'm not saying that I never did. I'm not saying that I've never said anything bad about another person or dishonoring, okay? But I can tell you this, to this very day, before I speak, I still hear those words from Murray in the back of my mind. All right? I'm 58 years old, okay? What's the guy you're seeing on, what's his name? Toby Mac. I'm older than Toby Mac. I'm 58 years old, and I still hear those words in the back of my mind when I talk about people, okay? And I'm very careful most of the time about what I say and how I say it. It's like the Lord had burned that right in the recesses of my mind. It's there, and it's never left. And you know what? I praise God for that. I praise God for that moment. I praise God for what Murray did, for having the courage to stop me in my tracks and put me in my place. You know, because he didn't have to do that. The Lord revealed something that was in my heart at the time. And believe me, if it's in your heart, eventually it will come out of your mouth. Okay? You will not be able to help it. You see, we all have the capacity or the ability to build up or to tear down. The question is what is our motive? What is it that motivates us to say the things or do the things we do? Because I'll tell you, no matter what you do, there's a motivation behind it. And it's either going to be something good, positive, or it's going to be something negative. My motivation, speaking about this young man in a derogatory way, was jealousy. I was jealous of this young man because he was getting all the attention and I didn't like it. So I said what I said to get the attention off of him, to put him down here, to raise me up here. And it didn't quite go the way that I had planned. Praise God. Amen. And believe me, it doesn't have to be jealousy. It can be anything, okay? I just want to make sure I don't forget this. It can be fear. It can be lack of control. There can be so many things and reasons why we act out the way that we do, all right? Consciously or subconsciously, all right? But God's in the business of revealing those things to us. God will put Murrays in your life, okay? And he'll do it to give you self-revelation, to reveal to you your flesh, all right? To prepare us for the divine revelation, which is kingdom truth, amen? This is important. We're going to talk about this because this is very important to get. You see, God will not give us spiritual insight until he has revealed the dross that is deep within us. Do you all know what dross is? It's that stuff that comes to the top of the melting pot when you're purifying gold. It's the garbage. It's the stuff you take off the top and you throw it away because it's no good. Once it is revealed in us, then the purification process can begin. But it has to be revealed first. Because you can't fix what you don't know you have. And God is in the business of revealing to us exactly what needs to be revealed so that we can get on with the process. And it doesn't mean that once he's revealed it, that we're there. Because believe me, sometimes it's a lifelong process. You know, I still have to keep my heart in check about what I say or think about other people. I do. You know why? Because I still live in a fleshly body. I haven't been redeemed yet. I haven't received my glorified body. You know, so that sin still flows in my veins. It still flows in your veins. All right, thank God we have Jesus. All right, but it's still there. And we fight against that. We war against that every day of our life. And if we're not constantly focused on Him, then what happens is we rely on this, the flesh. You guys getting this? How does man purify gold? Fire. How does God purify us? Fire. Okay? Now here's the thing. We have to be careful because a lot of things can happen in the fiery furnace of God. And we need to be very careful that the process that is meant to purge us and cleanse us doesn't turn us bitter. Okay? Because if there's bitterness there, I guarantee it, your time in the furnace is going to be prolonged. All right? Because it's just showing that there's dross that is deep within you, okay, that needs to be purged out. So, if God has you in the furnace, and I'm telling you, He has every one of us in the furnace in one way or another, okay? Every one of us. None of us are exempt. If you think you're not exempt, well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later as we get into this. But if you are and you realize that you are, pray that the Father will give you self-revelation. Pray for that self-revelation. Ask the Lord, Father, what is it that you're showing me? What is it that you're trying to tell me through this process? Why is it that when so-and-so comes up to me and says what he says or she says, that it bothers me so much? Help me to understand what it is that you're trying to reveal. I believe that self-revelation is the key to the beginning of transformation. Okay? I'll say that again. I believe that self-revelation is the key to transformation. We need to have that first before we're going to move forward into what it is that God has for us next. As I said earlier, we have to recognize that we have a problem before we're going to be able to fix the problem. I had a problem, and God sent me a Murray. And then when I thought all my problems were fixed, and I was all that in a bag of chips, God sent me a Sherry. Just the other day, I was saying something to Sherry, and she says, there's something there. There's something hurting you. There's something. I don't know what you said exactly. It's coming out. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. It isn't coming out. She says, yes, I can tell by your body language. I'm like, it is not. I can't get away with nothing with her. Praise God. Yes. Thank you, Michael. Yes, praise God. So if you think you don't have a problem, ask your wife. If you think you don't have a problem, ask your husband. And if you don't have a wife or a husband, and you think you don't have a problem, ask somebody that's really close to you. Because I'm telling you, it's the ones that are closest to us that know us the best. And I'm telling you another thing, we have a way as people to fool ourselves into thinking that we are all that in a bag of chips. Okay? So, what kind of an impact are you having on your environment? I ask. The people that are closest to you, the people in your workplace, the people in your neighborhood, the people in your home, your family. Are you having a positive effect or impact, or are you having a negative impact? Are you an encourager, or are you a complainer? We all know who they are, because you know when you meet a complainer. When you hey, how are you doing? You know, I'm all right, I guess. I'm surviving. Oh, you're surviving. Wow, that sounds rough. You know, I thought you were thriving. No, oh no, I wish. I'm just surviving. You know, that's sad, you know, but we know who they are. Are you a respecter of others, or do you dishonor others? Do you speak positively towards others, or do you speak negatively towards others? What is your disposition towards people in general? Positive or negative? Remember, we all have the capacity or the ability to be a builder, to build up, or to tear down. And everything depends on what comes out of our mouth. But I'll tell you, whatever comes out of your mouth was birthed here first. It's in your heart. I want to play a video. And as you watch this video, I want you to concentrate on the coach, not necessarily Brock. Okay? Are you ready with that, Joel? Okay.
So, coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does it.
There you go, baby.
There you go. Jeremy, good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
Hey, done. Just rest a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm buying out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. Keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop! Keep going!
Too hard!
It's not too hard! You keep going! Come on, Brock! Give me more! Give me more! Keep going! 20 more steps! 20 more! Keep going, Brock! Give me your best! Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No, you keep going. You keep going. No, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your
heart.
You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
It's got to be 50. It's got to be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I wear 160.
I showed you this video not because I want you to perform better, not because God wants you to perform better. I showed you this video because of the coach. That's what we want to aspire to be. That's the kind of person we want to be in each other's court. We want to be the encourager. We want to be the one to say, you can do it. You can do it. You keep going. You can do it. Don't be discouraged. You can do it. That's what we need to be. And far too often, we don't hear it enough. We don't get it enough. And we need to hear that. We need to be encouragers. We need to be supporters. Did you see what happened there? Did you guys see that? The negativity that was coming out of the camp from the team. They were so focused on the other team and how big they were and how strong they were that they were already defeated in their mind. Well, I can't do it because they're just too big. They're just too strong. And what does the enemy do to us every day? You can't do it. What difference can you make? Things are too big. The problem's too big. And you're too small. We need to be encouraged that we can do it. The Lord will often give us insight into where that He is taking us. But I've never seen yet the Lord give us insight into how He was going to take us there. Okay? And what I mean by that is that the Lord has a plan for your life, for every one of our lives, but He Sometimes he'll give us a vision as to where it is that we're going to be or where it is that we're going to go. But he never tells us how he's going to get us there. And I believe that there's a good reason why he doesn't. Because if we knew what it was going to take to get us ready, to get us prepared for where it is that the Lord and what it is that the Lord had prepared for us, we all would have clocked out a long time ago. Because we would say, oh, I didn't sign up for that. You know, but the Lord knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. That's why he blindfolded Brock. He didn't want Brock to see what was coming up. He didn't want Brock to see, I've reached the goal, I'm going to stop. He wanted to push him further and further because the coach saw something in Brock that Brock didn't see himself. And all he did was draw it out of him. He drew out the gold that was deep within him, and he made him realize that he could do it. Okay? But remember, this is not about performance. This is about a heart issue. We all need somebody in our corner, and we all need someone to push us forward. Someone who is not afraid to call us out. Especially when we're out of line. But one thing I want to say here, and I want to give this is a warning, okay? If you think that you yourself as you're a God-appointed spokesman for Him to speak into somebody else's life, I want to warn you: be careful what you say, because you will be judged even more. Okay? There's scripture that talks about teachers. Teachers will be more accountable than anyone else for what they teach. So when we get up here and we're speaking, we need to be very careful that what we're speaking is God's truth. All right? I'm not saying that God doesn't have grace and mercy, all right? But I'm saying we need to be careful. All right? So you need to be careful when you speak into somebody else's life, that you're speaking it out of the heart and you're speaking it out of the right motive. Okay? Because if it's not out of the right motive and it's not Holy Spirit ordained, you're best to be quiet. Okay? God is looking for our best, absolutely. And our problem is that we associate our best with performance. Okay? It's not performance that has the greatest impact on others. It's the condition of the heart. That's what people see. You can be good at something, but I'll tell you, if you have the wrong motives, it's not good. It wasn't his performance that made Terry Fox so fit. Does anyone here not know who Terry Fox is? Everybody knows who he is, but it wasn't his performance that made him so famous. For Terry Fox, it was his heart. He never reached the goal. He never did get to the end of Canada. But I'll tell you, people remember him today. Everybody knows who Terry Fox is because the man had heart. If you're listening to this message today, whether here or on the podcast, and you're thinking, oh man, nobody ever encourages me. Nobody ever tells me that this is, you know, I'm doing well or I'm doing good. This isn't about that. This is about you going out encouraging somebody else. Okay? Go and encourage somebody. Go and make a difference in somebody else's life. Go and build somebody up. They need it. If you're not sure who that is, I'll give you a hint. It's probably the person that you've been most critical of. Go to that person and turn it around and start to encourage that person and start to build that person up. And I'm telling you one thing, you're going to see something that you probably never expected. That person is going to rise up out of the mire, and that person will surprise you like you would not believe, because there's something in there Okay? There's something deep in there. There's gold in there. We just need to dig deep enough for it. We need to be supportive enough that we'll draw it out of those people that we love and care for in our lives instead of beat them up and try to make them perform better and better and better. But they hurt me, you might say. Well, that's okay. They may have hurt you, all right? But forgive them and go do it anyway. Be vulnerable. Because it's in your vulnerability that things are going to move. And that's when God shows up. Because when we're at our weakest, who's at the strongest? The Lord in us. Amen. God will get through. He'll get you through the pain and the suffering if you trust in Him and you give it to Him. And the pain, yes, it burns. As Brock said, he's crawling along the ground and he's saying, it burns and it burns. And the coach said, I know, but you can do it. You can do it. We got to get our mind off the pain and the hurt and get our mind focused on what the Lord is doing. And not just in our life, but in somebody else's. And I'm telling you, when you start to submit to Him and you start to open up to others and you start to encourage them and you start to support them, all of a sudden things start to turn around in your own life. And you start to see things. And you start to see people coming to you and encouraging you and trying to support you. God never, never leaves you void. Okay? But sometimes the areas where we're void the most is the area where we're lacking to give out the most. The pain hurts, but it's through that that it breaks the chains. You want to have a positive impact on the world around you? Start by speaking life into the world that desperately needs to hear your words. And don't wait until they deserve it, because if you wait until somebody deserves it, they'll probably never get it. You'll never go to them. Okay? We should be the most joyful people on the planet, Christians, because we have a hope and a future of what the Lord has promised us. Okay? We're a part of an amazing team, a kingdom team. And I'm telling you right now, Paldeepa, you're the most important person on this team. Karen, you are the most important person on this team. Alex, you are the most important person on this team. Stacy, you are the most important person on this team. I want you to turn to somebody and tell them that they are the most important person on this team. You see, God has chosen you for a purpose. And the purpose is to impact the world. And that's not going to happen through any means of your own. So forget about it. Forget about even trying. It just makes God laugh. Okay? It's through the changing life of Jesus Christ that is in you. Okay? It's the transforming life that's in you that is going to make a difference in one person's life. Because I'm telling you right now, folks, with the pain and the hurt that we carry from what other people have said to us and done to us, we would never have it in us to be able to go to somebody else, especially the person that caused the pain, and bless them. You can't. We won't. Our flesh just would not allow us to do that. But the transforming life of Jesus Christ within us can. Amen? Amen. So, do we have a part in this? Absolutely we do. But our part is simply this. Remember this. This is profound. Okay? It's to simply surrender to Him. That's our part. That's all you got to do. That's it. That's as far as your performance has to go. Surrender to Jesus. And let Him do it through you. And I'm telling you, you're going to see your world around you change. So I'm going to close with this. I want you to know that as I was driving along, going about my day, and as I was thinking about what had happened, I heard the Lord say to me, I want you to tell Murray how he has impacted your life the next time you see him. And I do see him from quite often, actually. I run into him here and there. And I know that God is going to make it possible again, that I will see him again. Because he wouldn't have told me to do this if he didn't. Okay? But I said to the Lord, I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. Why didn't I think of this before? Yeah, I would have done this already. Well, it was because the Holy Spirit didn't lay it on my heart. Okay? So the next time I run into Murray, I'm going to let Murray know the impact that he's had on my life. And I don't know if Murray understands the impact that he's had on other people throughout his life, because I'm sure he has. But I want to be sure that he understands the impact that he's had on mine. That's my job. That's what the Lord told me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. He gave me exactly, Murray gave me exactly what I needed through the Lord right at the time when I needed it the most. And it impacted my life and it changed me. It changed the way I thought. And I'm going to end with this. Don't miss what the Lord is doing in your life through others. Don't miss it. Because he's doing something. I don't care who you are. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. God is doing something in it. If you're willing to look deep enough to see what it is that he's doing. Don't let offense be a stumbling block to keep you bound in chains. Because it's a crappy place to be. We don't need the chains dripping off us. They keep us down. Okay? We want to be free to move forward. All right? Encourage others. Those chains will break. Forgive. Forgive. Okay? Forgive. 70 times 70. Forgive. Okay? Don't discard the Murrays that God has placed in your life. They're there for a reason. Okay? And if you don't know or you don't think you have a Murray in your life, it's probably that person that's agitating you the most. Yes, I said that. Look for every opportunity. Look for every opportunity possible to have a positive impact on somebody else's life. Okay? Promise me? Never mind, don't promise me. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be an encourager. Speak life. Amen.